Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of LID Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me is the author of the upcoming financial well-being book, Chris Budd. How are you today, Chris?
Good afternoon. Very good. Thank you, Miro.
Great. Thank you. And for our audience, the financial well-being is the next in our concise advice series. And Chris himself is the author of the book. He established the financial planning firm Ovation Finance in 2000, and he also holds a diploma from the European Mentoring and Coaching Council in business coaching. Chris also runs the youth section of his local cricket club and is a level 2 cricket coach. That's very impressive, Chris.
You don't know how many levels there are. There could be 83 levels. Two wouldn't be very good at all then, would it?
Right, point taken. And also, Chris enjoys writing novels and he plays the guitar as well. He now lives in Somerset with his wife and two children. His aim of the book is to teach and coach people on well-being when it comes to finance. And what an interesting topic, Chris.
Thank you. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yes, and let's just get straight into it. And my first question for you is, what is the concept of financial well-being?
Well, the idea is to try and get the focus of money to be on how to make us happier. There's lots of books about how to get rich. There's lots of programs about how to do up your house to make money and what have you. I just felt, after many years of giving people financial planning advice, that maybe we've got a bit too focused on money for its own sake, for the accumulation of wealth, rather than actually thinking about how we can use that wealth, that income, to make ourselves happier, not just wealthier.
Okay, and would you say that was the inspiration for writing the book, or did you perhaps have any other reasons for it?
Well, there's a long story that I'll tell you about that one, the inspiration for writing the book. Ultimately, what we're trying to achieve here is we want people to answer the questions for themselves: how much is enough? How much is enough to give me the life that I want, to make me happy? And that's what the book tries to do. It's very practical, lots of tips, lots of things to do, so that at the end of reading the book, you've got the basics for the foundation stones for actually making your own financial plan. And it's a financial plan that will be around your happiness rather than just accumulation of money. So to answer your question, the inspiration for all of that, if you'll allow me a few minutes to just tell you the story.
Of course.
It came from a car journey I took with my wife. My wife works for a local cancer charity called the Penny Braun, the Cancer Centre, P-R-O-H-N. And they do wonderful work helping people with cancer to help themselves. So chemotherapy zaps the cancerous cells, but it doesn't do much about how the body can help fight the cancer itself. And that's what the Penny Braun Centre does. All our proceeds from the book are going to the Penny Braun Cancer Centre, so I'm not making any money out of this. We want the centre to get publicity and to make some money. So Susie was telling me about their work and about how they help the immune cells in our body to fight the cancerous cells. So I asked, well, it seemed to me the next obvious question was, well, how can we help to support the immune cells? And she was telling me that that's what they do there. It's mindfulness, it's eating well, it's healthy, it's not being stressful. And it seemed to me that one of the biggest causes of stress is worries about money. So I said to Susie in a fit of excitement, wouldn't it be great if I wrote a book called How Financial Planning Can Help Prevent Cancer? Now, I got the same stunned silence from her as I get from you, Myron. It's a little bit strong, that claim, to say the very least.
It is very powerful, yes.
Powerful and perhaps a little bit over the top. But it did lead us onto this idea of using money to reduce stress. And so the idea of financial well-being was born from that.
Right. And just for anyone interested in Penny Braun, we will have a link in the description below that you can go and you can check out all the wonderful work that they do.
That's great.
No, absolutely. It would be our pleasure. And now we've talked a bit about, you know, the concept of financial well-being. But can you perhaps give us maybe a few tips on how we can learn to control and plan our finances more efficiently without going too much in the book, obviously?
Well, we want people to buy the book to find out.
Yeah.
There's five areas of financial well-being, and I think probably the most important one is to have a clear path through achieving identifiable objectives. Now, just dwell on that sentence for a second. A clear path for identifiable objectives. The important bit, first of all, in that is to have identifiable objectives, is to know what you want from life, to know what makes you happy. And very simply, work out what makes you happy and do more of that. That's really what it boils down to. I couldn't just sell a book with that on the first page, so we have to go into a bit more detail than that.
Right.
We then go into, therefore, creating a clear path, and that's all about financial planning. That's all about, in very simple terms, a spreadsheet, and the book will help you to construct a spreadsheet to put some numbers on this question, how much is enough? And then it's also about controlling your money. So once you've worked out how much you're spending, making sure you're spending it in the right way. So if I may give you an example, retail therapy. Now, that's a thing that exists. That's recognised. If we spend money on stuff, we feel better.
Yes.
But the amount of well-being that we get from that tends to be fairly short-lived. Because once that stuff has been used, taken home, read, eaten, looked at, listened to, whatever it might be, worn, the well-being tends to disappear quite quickly. Whereas if we spend that same money on experiences, then those experiences create memories which last for a much longer period of time. So that's just one small example of how we can use our money to make ourselves happier, not just wealthier.
How fascinating. And what struck out for me in the book is that there are actually sections for the reader to plan, and that I think is an absolutely great addition, and it feeds in perfectly what you just told me. And actually leads me on to my next question, Chris, is you mentioned retail therapy, right? And, you know, in our everyday life, we are bombarded on all sides by whether it's the media, advertising, whatever it may be. And that can affect our finances and our financial well-being. So how can we keep a cool head in the face of, you know, advertising from all sides?
I'm the guy who, when you go to the cinema and you get there half an hour before the film starts, because it always advertised 8:15, and you get half an hour of adverts, yeah?
Yes.
I'm the guy sat outside reading a book for half an hour waiting for the adverts to finish. I avoid adverts like the plague. There was a very interesting survey done in Canada, this is mentioned in the book, of two groups of people. One group was shown a documentary, a very sad documentary about somebody dying of an illness, and another group was shown a very uplifting nature documentary. And they went to both groups afterwards, gave them a bottle of water, and asked how much they would be willing to pay for that bottle of water. And the group that had seen the sad documentary offered 10 times more than the group that had seen the happy one. This is what advertising does. It sets out to make you unhappy. And therefore, turn the adverts off. Get your mute button close at hand when you're watching telly. Watch, I probably shouldn't advertise certain paid-for subscription services, but they don't have adverts. So
right.
Get rid of the adverts of your life. That's one thing. That's one suggestion I would make. Another one would be that another little tip that somebody gave me, and this is actually aimed at if you have kids badgering you to buy you stuff, but I think it's a good thing to try for yourself. Wait 2 weeks. You see something and you think, oh, I really would love that. Walk away, come back in 2 weeks' time. If you still want it, buy it.
Hmm.
And that's quite a good little tip, actually. I've used that with my kids quite a bit. And if they do genuinely remember it 2 weeks later, fair enough, you probably really want it then, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've never even thought about it this way. And I think we can definitely be kind of caught in the trap of, you know, see something, want something, buy on impulse, and then get buyer's remorse.
Exactly.
And that's something that I've personally felt myself, and I've definitely tried to improve. And it's not a good feeling. It is absolutely
feeling. You make a very good point there, Myra, which is that not only can retail therapy give only short-lived well-being, but actually it can be negative, because if you get back and you've gone further into debt, then your total well-being will be worse off. So there's another very, very good book, which is quite popular at the moment, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying by Marie Kondo. And that's a very interesting approach to the same principle, really, but the stuff you already have. Tidy up, get rid of it, look at that item. Are you still getting joy from that item? There are no quick wins to this. The accumulation of wealth for happiness can be a long, slow game. So avoid advertising, my view personally. Review the stuff you've got. Do you still get joy from it? Consider your purchases, but also create that plan. Because there is well-being to be had just from seeing yourself getting closer to your future. If you've identified a future that will make you happier, and you can see that you're not spending so much, putting a bit away, and you can see that future getting close to you, whether it's retirement, whether it's setting up your own business, whatever it might be, there is well-being to be had from just seeing that future getting closer to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. And I think it's very fair to take away that financial well-being can affect all aspects of our lives. It can affect our personal life, and it can affect our working life. You know, it can affect our relationship. How does improving our financial being improve other aspects of our life?
Well, there are five areas of well-being in total. This comes from surveys from Gallup and a very good book called Wellbeing by Tom Rath and Jim Harter. And they identify five areas of well-being in general, which is financial well-being, clearly, but also career, social, physical and community. And one of the really important things to remember in all of this is that none of these things exist in isolation. So somebody who focuses too much on their financial well-being, for example, that could be at the expense of their family life, their social well-being. So it's important that we keep all these things in balance. So it's a very relevant question you asked there. Career well-being is all about how engaged we are in what we do. And it could be that somebody is doing a job that they don't enjoy because they're trying to get a bit of extra money. Well, create that financial plan. Do you actually need that extra money to get what you want? Maybe doing a job that wouldn't pay so much, but which would give you much greater happiness in your social, in your career, would then also give you sufficient financial well-being. In our financial planning firm, what very often happens, particularly for, I say, older people, 50 plus, is they come for a financial plan, we go through this process, and they realise they've actually got more than they realised. That's quite common. And it's also quite common that we tell people you don't need to be working anymore. If they're in their 60s plus and have made enough money, but they're still going because they've never looked up and looked around them. So that the interaction between career well-being and financial well-being is very important. Social well-being, I've talked about the idea of spending money on experiences. Well, social well-being links in well here. There's a Harvard survey that was really interesting. Over a 75-year period, they have been tracking the happiness of a group of people.
75 years?
75 years. It's a really interesting TED talk on it. And the conclusion from this is that social well-being, more than anything else, is the biggest contributor overall to well-being. It's the relationships that we have, the family and friends, and the quality of those relationships. So linking that with financial well-being, if you want to spend that money on an experience, you want to go for a trip to Copenhagen for a weekend, take a friend with you. You know, you can use the two things together to create well-being for everybody, which in itself will increase your own well-being.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this resonates with me, and I think, you know, some of the most fun that you can have and, you know, the best memories that you make is when you are spending your finances accordingly. You know, when you are going on those memorable trips, when, you know, if you're acquiring items, if they have, whether it's sentimental value or actual meaning to you, I think, you know, it sticks around and it impacts you positively. You're absolutely right.
So using money in a way to make other people happy will make you happier.
Yes.
And doing something to increase your... One of the tips that we give, we do run a workplace well-being workshop where we'll go and talk to 20-odd staff and we'll run them for a lunch hour, run them through the principles of financial well-being and get them to create a worksheet, go through a worksheet, and they will go home with a basics of a financial plan. And one of the things we say on there is there somebody that you haven't spoken to for a long time that you wish you had? I think most people have somebody like that. Maybe it's an old college friend that you've lost contact with, whatever it might be. Send them a book. Send them, not necessarily have a book. that would be quite
preferably
a
good that one, though.
But it could just be, go on to Amazon, put their address in and send them a book. You spend a tenner, and they'll get that. What a surprise. And they'll pick the phone up, talk to you. It would just give everybody well-being. I recently took my family to Copenhagen, which is why I mentioned it earlier, because a very old friend of mine from when I was 18 years old is Danish. We were bestest friends, and in our mid-20s, we lost contact. And I've thought about him a lot, and through Facebook, we got back in contact, and we went over to Copenhagen to meet him. Had the most wonderful weekend. He was just the silly old bloke that he was when I was 18. And we had such a good time. And my family got huge enjoyment from meeting this chap that I've been talking about for years. So that's a really good example of using some money to create good well-being for everybody.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. And I think my final question for you, Chris, is the one that we ask all of our guests here on the podcast. And that is, what are you currently reading?
Well, I tend to have a few things on the go at any one time. I'd like to boast that I'm the owner of the biggest collection of unread business books in the UK.
Right.
One of the reasons why I was attracted to the Concise Advice series, because they're much shorter than usual and they're very action-driven. So I've got a big load of those that I'm looking at on my wall of my study, which I'm not reading at the moment. I do like graphic novels, and I'm reading a manga book called Death Note at the moment, the series.
I've read it myself. Very good.
Yeah, good. Yeah, enjoying it very much. There's also very much into my music. One of my favourite bands is XTC, and Andy Partridge of XTC has just released a book called Complicated Game, all about how he wrote all of his songs. I find the creative process fascinating, so that's good fun. And I'm rereading Catch 22 that I read when I was a student, which is a crazy book and great fun.
Great, wow, absolutely great, and a very diverse reading list at the moment, actually. And I give Death Note my approval as well. It's a very good series. It's a classic. And with that, I would like to thank you very much for joining me today, Chris. And for our audience, if you would like to know more about Chris, the Financial Wellbeing book, or any of our other LID books, do feel free to find us at lidpublishing.com and any social media platform that you may be on, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. You can find us at LID Publishing. If you would like to know more about the Financial Wellbeing book, you can check out financialwell-being.co.uk for all information. You can find it also on Twitter at finwellbeing. And also you can find more about Chris himself at cbud.co.uk. And thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you very much indeed.
And thank you to our audience for listening. Bye.